Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to Stone Cold Shows. In our last episode, we got into some of the quotes and reports and moving parts around the offense that are coming out of the GM meetings. This episode, we're going to focus on the pitching side of things. Sources are saying a key piece of the championship team, not named Alex Bregman, could be on the move. I want to start with this interesting article that was published on Climbing Taos Hill regarding Yusei Kikuchi. Josh, this was something that you brought to our attention, so I want you to set this up for us. Give us the cliff notes and then, you know, give us your thoughts on that. And Charlie, I want you to react to it as well.
I thought it was a good article too on Climbing Taos Hill. The thought being that maybe this wasn't a great move to go acquire him and put him through the Astros car wash. And they say in the article, you kind of unlocked him for all these other teams that he's now a free agent and a Scott Boras client. So the thought that he comes here, the Astros fix him, and then he's a free agent. And now the teams they list in this article that have interest in him, the Rangers, the Red Sox, the Yankees, the Twins, the Orioles, the Tigers. So there could be a situation where you kind of turn this guy into an amazing pitcher, and then he goes and signs with the Rangers and pitches against you and beats you in games. And the fact that you gave up three prospects, we all know we've been through this a whole bunch with that trade and the prospects. We know they're not top tier prospects, but you still gave up three prospects from a farm system that's completely depleted to go add a rental that now you've kind of turned into one of the hot pitchers to go add on the free agent market. And the other reason Boras is saying the interest level is so high in Kikuchi, one of the reasons he's a little older, so he's not going to get a really long-term deal with a ton of money. But the other thing, he wasn't eligible to receive the qualifying offer because he was traded. So that means that the team that signs him, they're not going to have to forfeit any draft compensation. So that's going to make him even more enticing to teams looking for some pitching.
I would have no regrets about this. I mean, as time goes on, if Jake Bloss becomes a front-of-the-rotation starter, the odds of Joey Loperfido or Will Wagner ever being a real meaningful big leaguer, not very good. Loperfido, by the way, was worse with the Blue Jays than he was with the Astros. Are the Astros the only team that under any circumstances would have unlocked better Kikuchi? But they did. And can't say it point blank, but it might have been the difference in the Astros getting to the playoffs at all. And yeah, when you get bounced in two games, was it even worth it? Yeah, it was. To get back to the playoffs for an eighth consecutive season. You know, this is maybe 9 or 10 cents on the dollar to the Randy Johnson acquisition way back in 1998, where it made a good team better and the Astros got bumped out in the first round by San Diego. But that was a needed go for it move for a franchise that at that point still hadn't broken through and wouldn't for another 7 years to get to a World Series. And while Freddie Garcia went on to have a real good career and helped beat the Astros in that 2005 World Series, and Carlos Guillen had a very good major league career and was better than Astros shortstops over a period of years, and even John Halama, the third guy, was a serviceable fifth starter for a while. You were the Astros, you'd make that Randy Johnson trade 100 times out of 100. Not with the same level of gusto or anything approaching it, but the Astros got what they wanted from Kikuchi. They didn't get enough from the rest of the team. And, you know, when you score three runs in two games that Kikuchi didn't even pitch one of those two games, it's not like that tipped the balance. So if over time the deal looks worse in hindsight, that's what I'll call it, hindsight.
And that's the thing about shoving every year, right? Is, you know, Kikuchi gave you more than you could have expected as far as production goes. There weren't a lot of high hopes. It was just hope, as a matter of fact, given what he had done at Toronto. And it wasn't his fault that he didn't get to pitch in the postseason. The offense was non-competitive. You had to make a move, like Charlie said. I want to get into a report about some internal trade discussions. But before we do that, just a reminder, if you're a Texans fan, First of all, we're sorry. But secondly, a reminder that three of us do a Texans podcast called Texans on Tap. We're live after every game. You can find that over on our other YouTube channel, Sports Map Texans, or in audio form on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Texans on Tap. We'll be dropping a Texans Cowboys preview this Thursday. We teased a critical member of the 2022 championship team could be on the move. Chandler Rome said that sources told The Athletic that there are internal conversations about trading Ryan Pressly. If you listen to this podcast, external conversations are also happening. Pressly has a pricey contract. Neither he nor his contract are aging well. He has a no trade clause. Do you guys see this coming to fruition at all?
Trade value, minimal. It's not like Ryan Pressly couldn't find a job if the Astros just released him, but he turns 36 years old before the end of the year. Decline has been there over 2 years, and he makes $14 million. Right? Tanner Scott, probably the best reliever on the market this offseason, maybe he comes in at about $14 million in a multi-year deal. The saving grace is just 1 year of Pressly. Now, I think the upside in what the Astros could get in trade for him is very low to begin with, but there's probably a bit of a sliding scale. If the Astros are saying, okay, we'll trade Ryan Pressly for a C-grade prospect, no, actually, you're only going to get a D-grade prospect unless you're going to send over $7 million to pay half his contract. Then maybe we'll give you a C-grade prospect. But they're not going to get an A-grade prospect or a B-grade prospect for Ryan Pressly where he is at his stage in his career and what he makes for 2025.
That's the issue. I feel like this is all about salary with Pressly. It's some of it's performance, sure, but they have a closer now and Hader that they're paying a ton of money to. Abreu is the better option for the eighth inning now, if in my opinion, than Ryan Pressly. So I think they want to shed some salary. I don't think they want to go over the competitive balance tax, and that would achieve that. But as Charlie pointed out, you're probably going to have to eat some of that money to get him moved, which means you're not going to get that full $14 million off the books. You're probably going to have to chip in some money there. So I don't know if you quite accomplished that goal. And the other thing, you got to get together with Pressly and you got to find a place that he wants to go to. He probably saw the writing on the wall last year when they announced Hader as the closer and him having to move to the setup guy, knowing that I only got one more year on my deal. I'll probably be gone, if not this offseason or after this coming season. So he knew what was going on there. But I just wonder, is there a team that is looking to shove that just, hey, maybe we don't need Pressly to be our closer, but we could upgrade our seventh, eighth inning guy. Would they be willing to overpay to get that solidified? I don't know. I mean, Pressly had a lower ERA than Josh Hader did last year. So we can't act like he was terrible. I mean, he wasn't. He's just not the dominant pitcher that he used to be.
As said before here, the Astros would essentially give away Ryan Pressly for $14 million of asset allocation relief. It's not kicking Ryan Pressly to the curb as much as if that $14 million could go into the starting pitcher fund or the replace Alex Bregman fund or the keep Alex Bregman fund. You know, Ryan Pressly throws 62 innings. $14 million is an absurd amount for the third best or third most important relief pitcher in your bullpen. So you try the Dodgers, you try the Mets, the teams that might say, whatever, it's just check between a couple of sofa cushions and $14 million for 1 year. You know, Blake Treinen leaves the Dodgers. He made $10 million last season. Not sure why he'd leave the Dodgers, but he is a free agent. The Mets, you know, budget is a non-concern. Maton and Stanek could get a whole little Astros reunion one step further. So you call those teams and see how much of the money they take, but you're not going to get a meaningful prospect return for Ryan Pressly.
And as a team building perspective, I think this was in SB Nation. If this stays unaltered, the Astros are projected to have the most expensive bullpen in baseball at over $42 million. And you're paying that much for that production? I mean, that's why the season kind of unraveled, even at the beginning of the season and at the very end of the season. It was that overpaid bullpen.
Given what we've seen from Montero and Abreu, Jose Abreu and McCullers, eating money has been on the menu for the Astros the past couple of seasons. So don't be surprised if they aren't willing to do more of that. Speaking of McCullers, we did see a news blurb that McCullers is throwing and could be ready for spring training.
Playing catch, Brandon. We can go play catch.
Yeah, so thoughts on that? Do you hold out any hope that you'll see McCullers in any form or fashion on the field this season?
With never say never as a general guiding principle, I'll hold out a modicum of hope, but if you set an over-under of 40 innings pitched at the major league level in 2025, I'm taking the under. Or maybe we can bet a cup of coffee on it.
I'm just concerned that every time it seems like he starts to ramp up, there's another setback. That's a problem. He's had several surgeries now, and the fact that he's just playing catch with how long ago that surgery was, and that Luis Garcia is throwing bullpens, and that same update, Dana Brown said they expect him to be ready this spring, Luis Garcia, which is great news. But that also tells you it's not apples to apples with those two guys. I would love to see McCullers come back, and we all appreciate all the great things he did for the Astros. But unfortunately, sometimes the body breaks down and there's just not much you can do about it.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to McCullers. Obviously, we operate with a high level of snark on the podcast. The guy quite literally gave everything that he had in 2017 and pitched his arm off, essentially, and put himself in the spot here for the betterment of the team. So here's hoping. Astros, obviously, if they could get a productive Lance McCullers this season, they certainly could use it. And for his sake, he seems like a nice enough guy. I'm sure this eats him up not being able to play. So for his sake, I hope that he can come back and be productive. Because if anybody deserves it, it's that guy for sure. Lastly, a pretty big announcement came out Saturday that the 23-year-old pitching phenom Roki Sasaki will be able to sign with a MLB club this winter. We got a little peek at him in the WBC in 2023, and he looked pretty dominant. Now, the caveat is that because of his age, he will be able to come out and be considered an amateur coming out of the NPB. League sources told The Athletic that the Dodgers, Padres, Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, Phillies, and Cubs would likely all be in the mix. All those are big marquee franchise teams. Are you surprised that the Astros, who will likely lose Justin Verlander this offseason and maybe Framber Valdez next offseason, weren't mentioned in that group of teams?
They will make the call. I mean, because of the terms under which Sasaki has to sign, posting now as opposed to waiting two more years, he represents phenomenal acquisition value. So the Pirates and the Rays and the White Sox of the world, but whose call will be taken? And in the Astros' case, obviously, they're a very credible franchise. They can sell sustained success. But as opposed to Cuba, where the Astros have deep ties and, you know, they have Yordan as their god to point to for these young Cuban kids. The Astros, very minimal work in Asia. I mean, Kikuchi was an acquisition of necessity, probably a temp. Other than that, Nori Aoki, Kaz Matsui, and Seen. So the Astros have no cachet with Asian players as a pitcher. Minute Maid Park probably isn't one you're saying, oh, I wish I could pitch my home games there with those Crawford boxes. So, yeah, he'd be a fabulous acquisition. But scratch my never say never guiding principle. If Sasaki somehow picks the Astros, Dana Brown locks up executive of the year.
Yeah, good point, Charlie. You have to wonder if some of these guys that are going to be in high demand, do they see the Astros title window as shrinking and kind of in the past? Whereas you look at a team like the Dodgers, they just won a championship and everything looks, the future looks bright. You know, you have to wonder that these guys that are making these decisions, is Houston still considered to be one of those destinations where you have a legit championship opportunity every year? Especially if we see Alex Bregman walk out the door, and then you know the Astros' history with letting a lot of their players walk. It might be an optics thing. It could also be a geographic thing. Some of these guys want to play on the East or West Coast, but I'm curious if we gave them truth serum, what do a lot of these top free agents think about Houston's chances over the next 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, the Astros' organizational top-to-bottom depth chart now, it's behind a number of teams. You mentioned some of them, right? The Red Sox have been a non-factor the last couple of years. They're teeming with the elite prospects, 4 or 5 guys way better than Jacob Melton, the Astros' number one prospect, is in any of the rankings. But within the American League West, the Astros are still a threat. But for all they've accomplished, they're not the legacy, generational heritage franchise that the likes of the Yankees and Dodgers are. I mean, that's just reality, not just for the Astros, for everybody else.
How dare you disrespect Hank Conger's legacy, Charlie? That's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Stros. If you're listening on podcasts on places like Apple or Spotify, do us a solid, give us a 5-star rating. That helps people find our podcast. Charlie, Josh, and I will join you next week for continued off-season coverage, but you don't have to wait that long to get Houston Sports Fix. All you have to do is subscribe to this channel, Sports Map Houston and Sports Map Texans on YouTube. We'll have more content for you during the week, including our Texans Cowboys game preview dropping on Thursday on Sports Map Texans. Thanks for listening. Until next time, go Stros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.